Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Stony Creek Church today. If you're watching online, we welcome you too on this chilly Sunday morning. And I hear there's a football game tonight. Am I right about that? What was that? Did I hear heresy in our church? You'll want to grab your outline as we go through the message today. Next week, we start a series on 1 Peter. And I hope you'll be up for that and join a small group if you haven't already done so. And become part of the study that we go through that will help supplement what we learn here on Sunday mornings. A while back, a guy who had just started following Jesus, he was a newbie, he said to me, "I just don't know what to say to God when I pray. I have no idea how to talk to him." He had grown up reciting prayers in his church where he was raised, but now as a new believer in Jesus, he sensed that something was missing. He had heard about this personal relationship that he's supposed to have with the Lord, and he wanted to know how to connect with God on a deeper level, more personal level. His question prompted a deja vu moment for me. I thought back to when Jesus was asked a similar question. It's found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. You have your Bible? I invite you to open up to that. And we're going to read this passage today. And when we come to the yellow print, if you haven't been here before, that's your cue to read along with me. We begin in verse 1. It says, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John the Baptist taught his disciples.' He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" That's the word of the Lord. How many of you know this prayer? Know it well? Yes. Does it seem that something is left out? Yeah, doesn't it? This is the short version of the Lord's Prayer given to us in Luke's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, gives us a slightly longer version of this same prayer, and that's the one that we're mostly familiar with. And I like that because it shows me that the exact words, that's not what's really important. It's the ideas that we pray to the Lord. We can vary how we say. How many of you grew up reciting this prayer? Yes, yes, many of you, as did I. Well, there is no better prayer to pray than this one. But the fact that Jesus gave us different versions shows us that it doesn't always have to be exactly the same. Notice Jesus' disciples. They grew up as good Jewish boys, reciting prayers at least twice a day, word for word. And yet, as they saw Jesus praying, they sensed that something different was going on here than what they were used to. They asked him, they said, "Teach us to pray." Well, they'd been praying since they learned how to talk. They knew how to pray, but as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray, "Lord, teach us to pray. Help us to know how to do it the way you do it." And so today, our message is entitled Conversation Starters with God. Last Sunday, we looked at Luke chapter 5, verse 16, a verse that just resonates with my soul. It says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." We looked at that carefully, closely. And we were invited, we were challenged to follow Jesus' example and to spend quality time with him daily, alone. But if you're like me, when you try this, you may wonder, once you've got this audience with God, well, what do I say to him? I run out of stuff to talk about. What do I say? Well, the Lord's Prayer is a model prayer. Yes, of course, you certainly can pray it as given, word for word, no problem. But Jesus meant it as a pattern to follow more than simply lyrics to recite. Jesus himself, the Gospels tell us, he spent whole nights in prayer, talking to God. Do you think that he means us to simply recite this prayer over and over and over and over and over again? I don't think so. The Lord's Prayer is a collection of talking points with God rather than just lines to recite. Now, since most of us know this prayer backwards and forwards, we could recite it in our sleep, I've put it into our present day jargon. I've remixed it so that it can impact us the way it impacted the first hearers. That's what I'm trying to do here today. I'm no disrespect intended to Jesus' words here. I'm trying to reproduce that kind of feeling that his first hearers would have had. So you see there on your outline, Jesus' seven prayer talking points remixed. When Ken saw this, he was putting the slides together, he sent me a link to the Gen Z Bible. I had never heard of the Gen Z Bible, but he linked the passage, Luke 11, where it's put into Gen Z jargon for me. And he says, what you're doing reminds me of this. Well, you check it out later, okay? Just, you know, make a note to check out the Gen Z Bible. It's pretty interesting. But the first and only word in Jesus' first talking point here is there, number one, Father. And my remix puts it this way: Abba, let's talk. Abba. What's Abba? A pop group from the 1970s? No, this is a much different Abba. Abba is an Aramaic word. You see, Jesus spoke mostly in Aramaic when he was teaching and just having conversation. And Abba is Aramaic for dear father. The word father just by itself doesn't really do it justice, doesn't really capture it. We might say papa, or even dad. Dad. Does calling God dad just kind of sound a little inappropriate to you? Maybe a little irreverent, a bit too casual or flippant? Well, it does for me, too. Abba was a household word in Jewish families in Jesus' day. The little kids talked to their daddy that way, used that word, and so did grown-ups. Nonetheless, most New Testament scholars would say that dad, it's just not a good English translation of Abba. And I have to agree, they're right about that. It is a bit too casual, but it's so close. And I think it's useful here because it helps us to relive the discomfort that the first disciples surely experienced when they heard Jesus address God as Abba. Jesus almost always talked to God using this word. He rarely calls him God or Yahweh. It's almost always Father, or in Aramaic, Abba, or in our audacious remix, Dad. It was Jesus' term of choice for God. And it sent a signal to his followers. Conversations with God are supposed to have this personal, homey, intimate feel. Like a child talking to his very kind and affectionate, kind-hearted daddy. When you begin talking to God, address him as Abba, Papa, dear and kind father, or if you dare, Dad. Abba, let's talk. Now, maybe you grew up, as some people do, with a father who was not very kind. Maybe he was absent. God forbid, maybe he was abusive to you or to your mom. Well, that, of course, is tragic and very unfortunate. But Jesus here, he invites you into a relationship with the Father of Fathers, the model, the infinitely good and kind Father. He invites you to know him, to love him. He invites you to sit on his lap and talk with him. Try it. Remember, Jesus teaches us to pray to Abba, to the Father. That's what goes on your outline there. We pray to him. He is the person you're addressing primarily in prayer. Not the Son, not the Holy Spirit, but the Father, the chief of the Trinity. Abba is the person of the Trinity that we're addressing. And so picture yourself in Abba's office. He's invited you there. He's sitting across from you. And you're there to have a talk with him. At your elbow is God the Son, Jesus Christ. He's the member of the Trinity that led you into Abba's office. He got you in. He's by your side to encourage you and to speak to Abba for you, on your behalf, and help you through the hard parts, if there are any hard parts to be had. In other words, you pray through the Son, to the Father, through the Son. You say, well, where does the Holy Spirit come in? Well, picture the Holy Spirit in your heart. See, he's the member of the Trinity who's prompting you to talk. He's sort of your spokesperson, you might say. And he speaks through you. So you pray to Abba through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit, the prompting of the Holy Spirit. All three members of the Trinity are involved every time you pray. Let's look at the second remix prayer talking point that Jesus gives us. Number two is, hallowed be your name. My remix for this, and this was a hard one, is, consume me with your awesomeness. Consume me. May I be obsessed with your awesomeness. Yes, God is your heavenly Abba. And you can, and you should, feel his love, his kindness, his gentleness. But Abba is not a cosmic teddy bear. He is gentle, kind-hearted, fully dependable. He is warm and fuzzy. But he's not safe. He's not harmless. He's not predictable. To hallow God's name means to set him apart as infinitely holy and glorious. He is the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-righteous God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, whose name is Yahweh. I am who I am, from everlasting to everlasting. When you come into his presence, don't confuse intimacy with flippancy. Mm-mm. You must show him the utmost reverence. Let me give you some suggestions. Get on your knees. Get on your face. Do you ever do this before the Lord? Don't make it a legalistic thing where you always have to be on your knees, but you should do it. It should be one of your regular habits if you're able to do it. Next, sing praises to him. Sing hymns to him. Sometimes I see people recording what goes on here up during the praise time with the phone. And I think that's great, so that you can, during the week, sing along and enjoy the service on your own and these praise songs to him, and really get to know them by heart. Another thing is you can do is read the Psalms to the Lord. This is the hymnal of the Bible, the book of Psalms. And for example, you can use the praise Psalms right at the end, Psalms 145 through 150. Just sing those out. Worship the Lord with his own words. These are prayers prayed to him. Become obsessed with his awesomeness. The third remixed prayer talking point, number three on the outline, your kingdom come. My remix of this is, I want your business to boom everywhere. Now, how did I come up with that? Well, let's say your dad owns a business. And when you talk to him, You likely ask him, well, how's your business going? How's it doing? Well, Abba owns a business. And it's a father and son kind of an outfit. You're part of it. This is a family-owned business. His business is his kingdom, his sovereign rulership over all things. But ever since Adam and Eve, humanity has been in rebellion against his kingdom, against Abba's rulership. This is an important point right here. The story of the Bible is the story of God's reestablishment of his kingdom over all the earth and the universe. That's the story of the Bible, right there. The kingdom first came to rebel earth in one man. He came incognito. Abba's son, the emperor's son, King Jesus. And when he left heaven and became a man among us, he arrived as just a little bundle of joy. They put him in a manger in Bethlehem. When Jesus called his followers, he was inviting them to become subjects of his kingdom. He said, "Repent, the kingdom is near." When you become a subject of King Jesus, you exit one kingdom and join another. You exit the kingdom of darkness, and you become part of the kingdom of light, his kingdom. Christ begins ruling over your heart, you see. And so you're part of the kingdom. You're part of his rule. And as the kingdom advances, more and more people come under his rule, you see, and more and more subjects are added, and one day the king is going to return in power and great glory to remodel and rule the earth and the whole universe, and there will be justice and peace and wholeness and everlasting joy. And so when you pray, "Your kingdom come," you're saying, I want your business to boom over all the earth, all the planet, and I want to be a part of it. I want to help. I want to take my role in the kingdom. How do you pray for kingdom advance? Well, let me give you some suggestions here. Pray for the lost to be saved. Unsaved neighbors or relatives, co-workers, pray for them to be saved. You see, you're praying for them to come under the rule of the king and for the kingdom to advance, you see. Pray for the sick to be healed. See, when the kingdom comes and is established here on earth, those who are sick will all be healed. So this is kind of a foretaste of the kingdom when God heals. Pray for the hungry to be fed. Pray for justice to be done on the earth. Pray for Christians and churches to follow Jesus faithfully, to practice what we preach, to live his love, not just talk about it. Pray for Jesus to return soon. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. All of these are prayers for the advance of the kingdom, and they're, I would say, probably the majority of my prayers as I talk to the Lord each day are these kinds of things to talk with him about. Number four, remixed prayer talking point is, give us each day our daily bread. And my remix is, your help today is essential for me. When most people think of prayer, they think of asking God for things, right? I need some help here. Maybe a loved one to get well, or you need a new job, or a marriage to be fixed, or an injury to heal. Things like that. Well, God wants us to bring our needs to Him. He delights to provide what we need. We can trust Him. Do you bring your needs to the Lord, to Abba, daily? Notice Jesus calls this our daily bread. Why does he call it that? Why does he pick that thing, bread? Well, many people that Jesus addressed were peasants. They lived hand to mouth. They didn't have, you know, refrigerators and freezers stuffed with food in case there's an outage or something like that. Meat was scarce, but bread was the most basic part of the diet. If you had bread, you had your needs met from that standpoint, from the way they lived. The first century Israel was one giant Panera. This talking point reminds me that even we rich people, we need to be reminded of how dependent we are on the Lord for everything. We've got food stored up and all kinds of stuff to help us with everything, but you know, that could go in a snap. It could be God could blink his eye and we could be in a third world situation. Everything we have comes from him. We're dependent on him. And if the day comes when we are reduced to poverty, and that could happen, the way things are going in the world and even in this country, the future is uncertain for Christians today. Who knows how long we'll have religious liberty? What happens if, to keep your job, you have to renounce your faith in Christ? Will you keep your job? Or will you renounce your faith in Christ? What if they won't let your kids go to college or stuff like that? Can't get any kind of an advancement. I hope and pray this doesn't happen, but it could happen. And even if it doesn't happen, we need to realize that we're always dependent on Him. And God provides us for the basics, he promises. So even if we are reduced to poverty, we know that he's going to meet our basic needs. Let's look at the fifth remixed prayer talking point. Forgive us our sins. My remix of this is, I repent of all my evil. You know, the hardest thing to convince an unbeliever of is not that God exists, or that Jesus is God in the flesh, or that Jesus arose from the dead, or that the Bible is the Word of God. The hardest thing is to convince him or her that he or she is a sinner, that nothing can be done on his or her part to earn salvation. But a Jesus follower is convinced of this. And so much that he or she has repented, repudiated sin, And not only that, but repents every day. To repent, what does that mean? It means to turn around. It means to do a 180. It means that you turn your back on sinful thoughts and words and deeds, and you turn to God for forgiveness. Abba took your sins so seriously that God the Son died in your place on the cross to save you from sin, and he arose from the dead. The problem was so bad that no one could solve it but him. So he came down from heaven to be our substitute and pay the price so that we could be forgiven. You remember when you were a kid and you and your siblings were making trouble down in the basement and your parents kept, you know, saying, stop that, stop that. And then finally they said, do I have to come down there myself? Remember? I heard that a lot. Well, God had to come down here himself and do it for us. When you get alone with Abba, tell him every detail of how you've blown it. Confess to him and ask his forgiveness. You see, the day you were born again, you were forgiven of all your sins, and you became Abba's child. You say, well, why then do I need to ask for forgiveness? Because you still sin, don't you know? Hello, you still sin. And when you sin, it hurts your relationship with Abba, just like it does if you do something wrong to your spouse or a good friend or whatever. It hurts that relationship. You don't lose your status as a child of Abba, but you still need to restore your fellowship with him. So let's look at the sixth remix talking point. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. My remix, I let go of all my grudges. Let's say I ask God's forgiveness, and yet I hold a grudge against you. What then? Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, he says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, why this? Is God legalistic and stingy with his forgiveness? No, just the opposite. But you see, for me to be forgiven, I must humbly repent, fully recognizing I have no right to be forgiven. I have no right to be forgiven. It's all because of God's grace. But if I hold a grudge against you, I'm not truly repentant, because I think somehow I can get from God what I don't deserve, when at the same time I withhold from you what you don't deserve. In other words, I'm asking for God's grace while denying you grace. And it won't work. You're holding on. You can't receive God's forgiveness when you're holding on to grudges. You gotta let them go. And then you can receive, you see. When you talk to Abba, list the people you're PO'd with and forgive them one by one, no matter how badly they've hurt you, and even if they've never admitted that they're wrong. If you do this right, it may take a while. You have to kind of work through it. Well, take your time and do it. the seventh remix, and lead us not into temptation. This one I remix as keep me from craving evil. If Abba forgives and cleanses us with Jesus' shed blood, then why do I keep sinning? Why do I do the things that I know I shouldn't do and hate doing? Well, because Abba has made us his kids, but he has left our sin nature within us until he takes it away when we go home to be with him. But why? Why did he leave this cancer within me? This sin nature? Because he wants to force a choice constantly within us to exercise our love muscles so they get strong. He wants us to grow in our resolve to love and prefer him over evil. You see, he wants us not just to be forgiven, but to be victorious over evil. He wants us to love him way more than we love anything else. But we can't do it without his help. We must seek his help to resist. Example, Abba. I know when my annoying coworker acts so rude to me. I'm not talking about anybody on the staff, Lord. This is just an example, all right? I know, Lord, Satan will tempt me to respond back in kind, to bite his head off, to tell him where he can stick it. Help me today not to give in to that urge to treat him the way he treats me, but instead to respond as Jesus, your son, would respond with love and with truth. We now have the opportunity to apply this message right here and now as we reenact the breaking of Christ's body and the pouring out of his blood. We're saying to the Lord, I'm your follower. Your death, Jesus, paid for my sins. When your body was broken and your blood was poured out, that was salvation for me. And I recommit myself to following you. That's what you're saying today. But Scripture warns us. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 28 and 29, you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. So if you're not willing to let go of a grudge or to stop looking at pornography or stop living with your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever it might be, you're not willing to renounce that and repent of that, then don't partake. You don't want to eat and drink condemnation on yourself. Father, thank you. Abba. Papa. Dad. Thank you for giving us your dear, beloved Son for our salvation. Thank you for the substitute who paid for our sins so we wouldn't have to. Thank you for the cleansing. We repent, Lord. We confess where we have sinned. May all the walls be taken down, smashed down, so that there's nothing that stands between us and you, Abba. Bless this celebration of your supper now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.